I'm up on the tight wire.
I'm sitting here in Studio B, sitting next to my good friend, Daniel Chacon.
And I'm in Studio B, sitting next to my good friend, Benjamin Alida Sines.
And welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire, which is our Christmas show.
Woohoo! This is the Christmas edition. And so we're just going to sit around and we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas and read a few poems, perhaps, and talk about what Christmas means to us.
Christmas songs and memories and maybe a couple of poems. You know, I really, really like Christmas. When I was a kid, Christmases were a little tough. We were poor. Sometimes my father was drinking and it was a little bit sad. But, you know, we always had a Christmas tree. And I have always loved Christmas trees because no matter if things weren't so good that year, no matter what, I would just go lie under that Christmas tree and stare at it. And we always had one. And I just loved it. It was just wonderful. It would really give me a lot of a sense of calm. Also, the other thing about Christmas is that my mom was always making tamales. And so the whole thing of tamales and a Christmas tree. And when I turned into an adult, Christmas really did become my favorite holiday. And I put up lights, I put up a tree, you know, I have tamales. I just sit around the tree and read. And it's really very serene. Because I don't do a lot of gift things. Some. But I do bake. And I bake cuernitos, and I bake raw apple cake, and I bake bizcochos, and I give them to friends. And it's very relaxing because when I do that, I listen to jazz standards and Christmas music. And so it just becomes a time for me of reflection and calmness and serenity. And I go to lots of movies. And it's the only time of the year that I let myself really relax, because the other time of the year, even in the summers, I'm writing, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and it's not relaxing in the same way. And always, always, I didn't do it last year, but I am going to do it, but I did do it. I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to make luminarias, and I like to make them, not order them. I make them, I put them up. Since I'm living temporarily with my sister, I'll just make a bunch of luminarias and put them up. And I like to go out there and light them on Christmas Eve. And it, I don't know, it just makes me happy. Right. What about you, Daniel?
I don't know if you can hear this. Can you hear that? It's a plastic bag. It's a Ziploc bag. I would say it's a quart size bag.
Gallon size.
Gallon size bag. And you know what I have in it? I have tamales.
Which me and my family made.
Yes, right, and they smell so good. Oh, see, I want a Christmas like Ben's Christmas. That's what I want. Because you know what I usually do for Christmas? I don't do anything. I'll take a walk around the city, whatever city I happen to be in at the time. You know, if I see a cafe that's open, I'll go inside the cafe and I'll drink a coffee and, you know, think about, you know, how lonely I am and how I wish, you know, I was with Ben making tamales. No, I'm joking. I don't really celebrate it much anymore these days. I still love it. But what I love about it is watching people enjoy it. And I don't mean the Black Friday mayhem where everyone's running over each other and people in the parking lot are like, you know, it's like these little demons come out and they just want to get the first spot and get everything for themselves. Not that. I mean, that's you know, the horrible part of it. But actual Christmas Day, watching families and remembering my childhood, because quite frankly, my childhood, we had beautiful Christmas every year. It was my favorite time of year, you know, and I loved the songs. And my brother and I used to stay up all night, or try to, when we were little kids, try to stay up all night waiting for the sun, waiting for the morning light. Because when morning light came, we knew we could open our presents.
Nice.
And we'd like sit there, and my brother would say, go look outside, see if it's light yet. And I would go peek, and nope, it's still dark. And we did that all night long until, before you know it, we fell asleep probably underneath the tree like little gifts.
That is great. And you mentioned songs. I mean, you're really inundated with Christmas songs at Christmas time.
Right.
There's a radio station here in El Paso, 99.9, and they play Christmas music on infinitum. And so I only listen to it a little bit. But there's a lot of Christmas songs I really love. But mm-hmm. my real favorite Christmas song is I'll Be Home for Christmas. And it's not like a traditional Christmas song like Adeste Fidelis, but I like that song because it's an American Christmas song. Actually, the original version was sung by Judy Garland in Meet Me in St. Louis. But it's a wonderful song.
It's a beautiful song. I love that song.
And I like it because it ends with a twist, If Only in My Dreams.
Oh,
so it's
sad.
Like this long, no, but it's this longing for this utopia.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of home, the idea of home is this utopia. And we always want to belong. And home is that place of belonging where you walk and you're home. You're there. It's where you belong. It's yours. And we have a kind of a longing for that because I don't think anybody has a perfect home. Sometimes we go home and we think, I'm home. And then sometimes you walk in and it's a disaster and you'd rather be somewhere else and you say, crap, I'm home. So home is like never this perfect place, but in our hearts and in our minds, we want that perfect space. It's like our own personal Eden. Right. And I think that song conjures all
absolutely.
Of that. And I like it that it's an American Christmas song, and it's not necessarily religious per se, though Christmas, you know, conjures all of those things. So it's not a religious Christmas song. But I love that song, and I think we're going to hear a little piece of it.
Be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light beams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams.
That is That's a nice song. That is a nice song. And it is sad, but it's a good sadness, that wanting to return. I think maybe that's what I do. You know, maybe that should be my favorite song, and maybe it will be after this year. Because, you know, when I'm walking around some city on Christmas, and really, maybe what I'm thinking about is wanting to go home, you know, conceptual home to, you know. I think one of my favorite Christmas songs when I was a kid, because my favorite Christmas song now is different, but when I was a kid, one of the things we used to love about Christmas and the weeks going into Christmas is all the Christmas specials. And even though they were the same every year, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman. Charlie Brown's Christmas, yeah, with that little pathetic Christmas tree. You know, even though we saw him every year, we knew exactly, you know, what was going to happen. We just loved to watch him. And one of my favorite TV shows, and probably because my older brother liked it so much, was The Little Drummer Boy. That song, I have no gift to bring, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. On my drum. Even today, if I were to sing more of that song, I would probably weep. That song just, when I was a kid, was so beautiful. And that act of giving his drum. See, I'm going to probably start weeping right now. That act of giving his drum away, just, man, when I was a kid, it blew me away.
Well, I like it because, I mean, I love that too, but that whole idea, it's such a humble song.
Yeah.
And I think that one thing that Christmas does conjure and should conjure for us is a sense of humility. I mean, I'm not an Orthodox Catholic by any means, but I do. It is my religious tradition, and right. I do love the idea of a God-loving, being humble enough to become a human being.
Right.
I think that's lovely. I think it's beautiful. And I think it's generous. And that whole drummer boy thing humility.
This kid, all he wanted was a drum. That's all he ever wanted, you know? And he finally got his drum. But he gave it away to the little Christ boy. See, I feel like I'm going to start weeping if I talk about this, because it's that act that, to me, people are always talking about the true meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. You know, the fact is, you know, the true meaning of Christmas is what you make of it. And it always has been. You know, there's never really been a true meaning. I suppose if we really wanted to go back to the true meaning of Christmas, we should probably, you know, paint our faces and howl at the moon, because, it's a pagan holiday. It comes to celebrate the winter solstice, which is not to say that there was not a Christ in Christian religion. There was, but the Christ was not born on December 25th. The winter solstice was on the 25th. And even the idea of putting Christmas trees in our house is a pagan ritual. There's no place in the Bible where they say you should put a tree in your house and worship around it, right?
The manger scene was given to us by St. Francis of Assisi.
Okay, yeah. The thing is, the true meaning of Christmas is what you make of it. You know, we can't return to a true meaning of Christmas, but we can discover and reinvent Christmas any way that we want. And I think that idea of, you know, putting others before yourselves is really a beautiful, beautiful idea that I would love to practice more in my life, and maybe I don't enough. And maybe that's why I cry when I listen to the song. I'm like, oh my God, I should be doing that.
But you know, we're talking about the meaning of Christmas, and I have a Christmas poem, which we don't think of as a Christmas poem, but it really is, and it's really kind of odd and not sentimental, because mm-hmm. I think that Christmas lends itself also to a lot of sentimentality, which isn't necessarily authentic. It just kind of pulls at our heartstrings kind of thing. But I also think that there's something very real and authentically, there's some authentic sentiment that should perhaps surround Christmas. And so I have this poem by T.S. Eliot called Journey of the Magi. And so I'm just going to read it, and I'm going to talk about it for a little while. It's a very famous poem. Journey of the Magi. A cold coming we had of it. Just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey. The ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. And the camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camel men cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women and the night fires going out and the lack of shelters and the cities hostile and the towns unfriendly and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all folly. Then at dawn, we came down to a temperate valley, wet below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a water mill beating the darkness, and three trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, six hands at an open door, dicing for pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information, and so we continued and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place it was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago. I remember. And I would do it again, but set down this. Were we led all that way for birth? or death. There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our palaces, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. And I love this poem by T.S. Eliot because the speaker is confronted by the Christ event and is forever changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that change is a death. Real change is a death. No longer at ease in the old dispensation to be utterly changed by this event. And
to have an epiphany, as it were.
and it's so hard to be confronted by that.
Right.
And to say, my life is utterly, utterly changed. And change is always painful. And I think, for me, that is the essence of Christianity in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we're so unwilling to be utterly changed by it that we'd rather change God into our own image.
Right.
Instead of just being, you know, like you said once in the show, to give yourself over to the book, to give yourself over to something greater than yourself that can utterly change and move you. And I think that's what that poem is about. It's not a sentimental Christmas message.
Right.
It's something far more profound, which I think is the essence of this particular holiday. And I think for believers, and even if you're not a believer, you know, I think that it's there. And so that's why I love that poem.
I don't like Christmas poems.
Not even The Night Before Christmas?
Not even that one. I hate it. I hate them all. Arr, I'm a Grinch. Although I do like The Grinch. That's actually a good one. And I think the reason why I don't like Christmas poems is because I had a traumatic experience as a child when it came to Christmas poems.
What happened?
I was in, I think fifth or sixth grade. And the teacher says, okay, I want you guys to write a Christmas poem. And his name was Mr. Williams, and he had this little mustache, and he was tall, and he looked, I think he was kind of racist because he kind of favored all the little white kids, and there were like a couple of Latino kids in the class, and it was English class. It was the advanced English class that they didn't think I was qualified for, but then I tested into it. Anyway, so I wrote this poem, Christmas poem, and it was about Santa driving a Cadillac. And the very first line was, I only remember the first line. It was like, no more bells to ring at night, just a horn for broad daylight. And it was basically about Santa Claus cruising around in a Cadillac, and I thought it was a good poem, and I really enjoyed writing it. And so when I turned it in, Mr. Williams called me up after class. He goes, who wrote this poem? I said, I did. And he goes, no, who wrote it? This is too good. I mean, I guess I convinced him after all, but still, it was kind of traumatic. And then about 5 years later, and this is true, Ben, 5 years later, now I'm a teenager and I'm listening to the radio and it's around Christmas and there's like this wacky Christmas show on some top 40 station and they play this song about Santa driving a Cadillac. I swear. And, and I'm thinking, I wonder if Mr. Williams turned this in somehow or, blah, blah, blah. And of course, now I see it was part of a zeitgeist, right? Just the idea of putting Santa in this, in a modern situation is going to occur to more than just a kid, right? It's going to occur to a lot of people simultaneously. And somebody had the cultural power enough to be able to, do a song and put it on the radio. But still, I felt cheated. I should be on the radio.
I understand. Also, let's get back to songs. What's another song you like?
One of the songs I like, and I think I know why I like it, but I never really explored that until thinking about it right now, is that song that goes, walking in a winter wonderland. And I know it's kind of, you hear this like 20 million times per Christmas season, right? I guess I like that line that says, we're going to build a snowman. And we'll dress him up like Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. I don't know. There's something about that line. It kind of reminds me of, this is going to sound weird. It reminds me of Orange County, California. Because one time I was going through this mall in Newport Beach when I was in a new relationship, me and the woman that I ended up marrying, the first one. I'm pretty good at marriages.
Conrad Hilton Jr.
The first one, yeah, you know, we were driving through and, you know, we stopped at this mall and it was like a real fancy mall, you know, in Newport Beach, California. And it was had this fountain. And, you know, it's, of course, it's 80 degrees because this is Orange County. And it had this fountain and it would put out these little little balls of water, boop, you know, and you couldn't predict. They were like electrons. You couldn't predict where they were going to appear. Boop, and you could see the kids and they were playing, like trying to figure out where the next ball of water will come up. And if it hit them, they would laugh and giggle. And, you know, and they were just like running around also like electrons. And there was just all this movement. And then all of a sudden in the mall speakers, they played that song. And I watched these kids run around and I watched the boop, 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 the balls running around. And ever since then, I've loved that song.
It always reminded me of New England, but you know?
You know, I've never been.
I don't have a personal attachment to that like you do.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't either until that day, you know, and it was just probably because I was just so fascinated by watching the, you know, the kids run around trying to predict where the next water ball was going to come from this fancy fountain.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening in the lane? Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
Gone away.
My next choice of songs that I really liked is religious. When I was growing up, when my grandmothers were still alive, and we go to midnight mass, and they would always, always sing Adeste Fidelis. Oh, come all you faithful, the original in Latin. And I love that song, maybe partially for its religious connotations, but mostly because of the nostalgia that I think of my grandmothers every time I hear that song, especially my grandma Josefina, whom I adored. Mm. Maybe we'll listen to a little piece of that. I know a song that we probably both love. Jose Feliciano.
Feliz I Navidad. Wish you a Merry
Oh, I love
Christmas.
That song. Yeah, I love that yeah. song. And it came out when I was
Feliz
a kid.
Feliz Navidad. Do, 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 do.
Feliz Navidad.
You know, I remember hearing that. My grandmother, when we were kids, we used to stay at my grandmother's, you know, and my grandmother never learned English. And all day long, she would play the Mexican radio station. And, you know, and so we would have to listen to these mostly rancheros, you know, type of music. But we loved that song as kids because it was played on KYNO Top 40, you know, and it was also one of the very first songs in popular culture
that was
that
in
had
Spanish
in it. So we were
exactly.
very proud.
Yeah.
And one time we were at my grandmother's house and she was just playing her regular radio station and that song came on. And we were like shocked, like, look what's coming out of grandma's radio, something that we like. And in many ways, it was a song that, for us, bridged not only, you know, popular culture and being a Mexicano, but also bridged the generations because suddenly my grandma's radio is playing something that we liked.
Since this is a book show,
uh-huh.
and we're talking songs, which is fine, and poems, one of my favorite things around Christmas is to always watch a version of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yes. I used to love that. I used to love the various versions of it, too. You ever seen the Mr. Magoo version?
I love Mr. Magoo's version of it. I absolutely love it. I'm so glad you brought that up. Is that great?
Yeah, that was
I wonder if we could get a hold of it. But there's so many versions of that, and I really, it is sentimental, but it's just wonderful. I mean, yeah. It's just part of a Christmas thing for me. I always have to watch Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol sometime before Christmas or at Christmas.
Oh, you know which Christmas show I could still watch even today? The Grinch That Stole Christmas. You know, first of all, I used to love Dr. Seuss when I was a kid. It was where my very first literary influence was Dr. Seuss. I would love to go into, imagine myself into the worlds that he created. But The Grinch, I love the writing. Let me quote, "And they'll shriek, squeaks, and squeals, racing round on their wheels. They'll dance with jinglinglers tied onto their heels. They'll blow their flufluvers. They'll bang their tartukas. They'll blow their woo-hoopers and bang their gardukas. They'll spin their tumtukas. They'll slam their shuchukas. They'll beat their bloom-bloopers." Yeah, I just loved the language in that. And also, that little dog, he is so cute. When the Grinch puts the sleigh on him and he has to... Even today, I will watch that cartoon and I will laugh. Well, Ben, that was a nice sentimental Christmas. What are you going to do this Christmas?
I am going to eat tamales, chile colorado, turkey, and stuffing.
That sounds good.
And take a walk. That's what I'm going to do, and spend time with my family.
That's great.
And spend time with my grandnephews and nieces. They're very sweet.
Yeah.
One of them has a speech impediment. His name is Christian, as a matter of fact, but he can't say it, so he calls himself Chicken.
Oh,
it's very sweet.
That is cute.
It's very sweet. What are you going to do?
I've narrowed it down to two things. I'm either going to take a walk on the beach for hours and hours, because I'll be in California maybe. The other alternative is I'm thinking about going to a country where they don't celebrate Christmas, like maybe Vietnam.
Let me know.
Well, thank you for joining us for the Christmas edition on Words on a Wire.
Merry Christmas, Daniel. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. To all of you. And may your new year be a blessed one.
Absolutely. I'm Daniel Chacon.
I'm Benjamin Alita Sines.
And don't forget, the next Christmas you celebrate
may save your life.